Hey, you want that to go?
Time for some takeouts on the news, and let's go first to our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. He was on Capitol Hill yesterday, and he got to see the new senator from Massachusetts, Scott Brown, get sworn in. Todd, what was it like yesterday?
Hi, good morning, Celeste. Yeah, Scott Brown was sworn in around 5 p.m. in the Senate chamber by Joe Biden, the vice president. About half the Senate in attendance, more Republicans than Democrats, but not a fully attended affair. Brown actually ruffled some feathers because he showed up a week earlier than the Massachusetts delegation expected him, but they all got over that. And then afterward, as is done with new senators, he walked from the Senate chamber to the old ceremonial Senate chamber for a photo op, and we got a chance to catch up with him a little bit and find out how he was feeling about being a newly minted senator. Listen to this.
Very balanced and excited.
What are you going to be doing tonight after the...
Just going to spend some time with my wife and get a nice dinner.
Well, there's a few good restaurants in Washington, D.C., but as the crucial 41st Republican senator, how is he expected to affect the debate over the jobs bill?
He went to an Irish pub, by the way. That's where he ate dinner.
Yeah, probably, right?
Well, the jobs bill is next. Harry Reid, the majority leader, has said that he wants to try to have a first vote on a new Democratic jobs bill on Monday. Now, we don't even know exactly what's going to be in it yet. He's trying to use some fast-tracking procedures. The only reason I'm telling you this is that without 60 votes like the Democrats used to have, it will be darn near impossible to do it. So how Scott Brown votes, or any other Republican for that matter, is incredibly important. If Reid can't get Republicans over to his side on a jobs bill, they're not going to be able to move this by the end of the week like they say they want to do.
Okay, thanks so much. That's Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. You know, while Todd was there yesterday, he also had a chance, among other reporters, to talk to Vice President Joe Biden. And this is what Joe Biden had to say.
Look, the president meant what he said when he said in the State of the Union, he's open to suggestions. Anything that meets the goals that the president set out for health care, and I'm confident the president is going to be inviting the Republican leadership and to come down, sit with us in a serious discussion and say, okay, guys, what do you want?
Okay, so okay, guys, what do you want? Is that the solution to gridlock? We're asking you, listeners out there, when you have gridlock in your own lives, when you've locked horns with someone, how do you solve that? Were you able to solve that? Give us your stories of gridlock in your personal life at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
Gridlock in your personal life. I'm trying to think of what that would be.
It's when you just feel like you cannot talk to somebody about anything.
Divorce, I
except
guess,
the weather.
The response to gridlock. So Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, is he confident with his sports pick? It is Super Bowl weekend this weekend. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
So our takeaway sports contributor, it seems like we've been talking about the Colts matching up with the New Orleans Saints pretty much all season long.
I think you have been talking about it, actually.
It was the Super Bowl I wished for.
There you go.
So what do you think of this matchup? And are you going to make a prediction?
Well, okay, so there's a couple things about the matchup that are really important. You had asked a question about the penalties of the offensive line of the Colts. And I couldn't find that specific stat, but the Saints have 89 penalties for the year. The Colts have 74.
Wow.
So if you want to look at it in terms of mistake-proof football, the Colts have the edge. Both of those two teams are among the four least sacked teams. So the Colts are number one in terms of protecting Peyton Manning,
right,
and the Saints are number four in terms of protecting Drew Brees. So you don't expect a game where you're going to have a defensive, you know, line come and destroy the quarterback and really change the character of the game. The quarterbacks are going to have the opportunity and the ability to do what they need to do to put their team in the best position to win. The other thing that's going to be important is a stop in this game, because the offenses are so strong, is going to be a field goal. It's going to be an offensive game. And I think what it's going to come down to is going to be turnovers. Once again, turnovers. How are people going to capitalize on those mistakes?
So, we hope it's not a mistake, but you want to make a prediction?
Well, okay, so my thing about this game is that the Saints, after 2005, after what happened with Katrina, there's a whole nation of people that had to leave New Orleans.
Nope.
Those people are all over the country. This is the new America's team. Exactly.
They
and they're going to
the
send their energy down to Miami.
So,
and that's why I'm going to go. My heart is going with the Saints. My mind is going with the Colts. But on this game, I'm going with my heart.
All right. He's on the fence, though, I think. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor. Thanks so much.
Good morning.
It is Friday. And so in a joint effort with our friends at The Week magazine, we're going to look back and see who had a good week and who didn't. This is our segment called Good Week, Bad Week. First up, somebody who had a very good week. He's furry. He lives in Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, it's the groundhog. Here's Michael Johnston, official with the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club.
this year, he did see his shadow. He was frightened back into his burrow and is anticipating 6 additional weeks of cold weather.
That's Punxsutawney Groundhog Club announcing the yearly ritual, and he may have been scared by his shadow, but he wasn't frightened by the folks at PETA, who this year insisted that Phil the Groundhog be replaced by Phil the Robot.
To quote our president, Phil is treated better than the average child in the state of Pennsylvania. He has 2 regularly scheduled visits to a veterinarian each year. He lives in a climate-controlled, state-licensed and inspected habitat called the Groundhog Zoo, which is right in the center of Punxsutawney. He leads a very coddled life and certainly flourishes in that lifestyle.
Thanks
Good
for
week
covering
for,
that up. Yeah.
for coddled rodents in Pennsylvania. We'd like to say one of the many Grammy winners on Sunday had a good week, but not really. Even if you win 4 Grammys, that can be kind of a downer if you sing out of key at the show.
She wears short skirts, I wear t-shirts. She's cheer captain and I'm on the bleachers.
That's Taylor Swift.
A little raggedy there.
Taylor Swift is the winning nominee for the bad week.
Because she dropped some one of
oh,
her many
she
Grammys
also dropped
on the
one
red
of her
carpet.
Grammys. Yeah, she won 4 Grammys. She dropped one and she broke it. I assume they can get her another one, though.
So the rodent gets the good week. Taylor Swift gets the bad week. If you've got nominations, send them to us at 8778-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Listener Shab Adele wrote from Detroit, who's having a bad week? Toyota, good week.
Say that again.
Detroit auto companies, primarily Ford and GM. Send us your nominations every week. You can call 8778-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
And you can see the full Good Week, Bad Week feature in The Week magazine. It's on newsstands and online now.